Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're grateful that you can join us today, and we hope that you will find this dialogue most informative and useful. Tonight we have a very special topic, as we announced earlier, and our intention is to let you know that there are constant examples all around us of things that are of great benefit. And sometimes we take for granted the fact that the answers that we're looking for are right in front of us. So tonight, again, what I want to do is to invite you to give us a call here, participate in the conversation, 657-383-0944. Or you can post your questions or comments here on Facebook. Again, the number to call is 657-383-0944. This is your host, Reuben Dockery. You're tuned in to another episode of Talk Straight this Thursday. Wow, September the 13th, 2018. Look at time fly. Success can come in many ways. Every successful person will tell you that it does not come without some type of struggle. The true nature of achievement on any level is based on the trials and the lessons learned through one's journey. Perhaps the most important aspect of success is the opportunity to positively affect the lives of others as a result of your experience. That brings us to our conversation tonight. And as I mentioned to you earlier, we have oftentimes right in front of us what we need, and we go looking for it somewhere else. The topic tonight is how to turn the bad into good. And we're looking at the case study of Fat Ricky. I don't know if you know this, but when we put together this educational lecture series focusing on at-risk African-American males across urban America, and we brought in our co-host with us all the time, Pastor Ricky Waller. We're looking at what's known in qualitative research as case studies. And case studies is a documentary process by which you can participate in research and gain evidence and understand about the thinking or the feelings, the mood of people and things at various times. So our case study tonight is on fat rickets. The number, again, is 657-383-0944. If you bear with me just a moment, I'm going to offer this monologue, and then we're going to open up the phone lines. He's here with us, Mr. Fat Ricky. Let's find out just who this gentleman is and what is the case that we can study that hopefully will improve the quality of life in it. How to turn the bad into good. Case of Fat Ricky. Isaiah, the 58th chapter, in the first verse reads, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." When we go through things, it's not always going to be easy and friendly. Things are not always going to go right like we want them. But guess what? When we pull the cover off of our transgression, our wrong ways, and our sin, we can better move forward. What the text is telling us, there's a need for somebody to cry loud. I'm going to read an excerpt from an article in the Nashville Ledger, a local paper, and I want you to see if you can identify who this character is. The title reads, "No Congregation Too Small for Reform Drug Lord." Fat Ricky, among the street monikers, preacher, who's devoting the second half of his life to making up for the drug-selling damage he did in the first half, spins the basketball on his left index finger, eyes on the bucket, and takes a long step or two across an urban ball court. One of his many pulpits, Nashville. Long striding beneath the net, ball still spinning. Minister Ricky Waller leaps across the key to make a reverse layup, much to the delight of a little girl who laughs in obvious disbelief. "All I need was for you to tell me I couldn't do it," says softly, while the dazzled child laughs fades off on the video he's playing for me as we sit in his sanctuary. Three rows of five chairs stretch from wall to wall in the great house on Indiana Avenue. If a sanctuary has 2,000 seats, but God's not in there, it's just a lot of noise, adding that God occupies his cramped sanctuary, and he'll put the same energy into his preaching if he has just one show up, even if it's just you, or if all 15 seats are full. And if more arrive at 3 p.m. Sunday worship, we'll squeeze them in. For those unsure of how or whether to pray, he wires his pulpit microphone to two portable loudspeakers on the front porch facing the street, sending his sermon into the West Nashville afternoon. I want to reach everyone who wants to hear it, whether in here or out there, he says, motioning with his head toward Indiana Avenue. He'll pretty much hold worship at any time people want it, either in the house, from a tent, out on the street corner, in some lonesome alley, or through the Bible study at which he reclaimed his reputation and developed his ministry, trying to make up for the years of running with the devil through his life's neighborhood. Again, this article was written by Tim Ghani with the Tennessee Ledger. Yes, we're talking about our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, pastor of New Way Outreach Ministry, and the subject of our case study. He's also the author of the powerful book, Feel High, where he has spoke of his own experiences right here. We have him in the studio with us right now. But before I go to him, let me please, Marvin Gaye has something to say about him. Listen to how Marvin Gaye explains his story. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. 657-383-0944. Listen to Marvin Gaye just for a second. Another very powerful topic. We go straight to the phone lines with our subject for our conversation tonight, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is our co-host and our regular friend from Peoria, Illinois, 8112. Someone on Facebook was asking what is the number to call. You can call right now at 657-383-0944. Ms. Dawn, bless you, darling. Good to see you. Feel free to give us a call and bring yourself into the studio or send your Facebook post questions or answers. But let me first go say hello to all of our phone callers that are on the line, and let me bring Pastor Wally in first, and we'll go to the other callers. Pastor, how you doing, sir?
Hey, now, how you doing, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine, mighty fine. I guess you know we're talking about you tonight.
Yeah, I noticed, man. I noticed that. That's pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, man. Goodness.
I got a few questions I want to ask you, but we're going to go to our other callers before we get into the meat of our conversation. We're talking about how to turn the bad into good, and I believe your life, your experience is a case study in that. And so we want to focus on that tonight. And I have a few questions. And if you don't mind, I want to take you back into the 6x6 dark room. Lights are out, doors locked. We're stuck in there. And I need you to help me come out of there with these questions, all right? That's okay with you,
sir? The best I can. Yeah, do the best I can.
Yes, sir. So we're using you as a case study tonight, all right? But first, 8112, okay. How you doing?
Thank you so much. How's everyone?
Good, good. Glad to have you again.
All right. How you doing?
I want you, sir. 8112, I want you to help me to study the experience of Fat Ricky. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. But before I do that, we have a caller, 615-0390. Welcome to Talk Straight. And how you doing this evening?
Doing real good, Doc. How about y'all self? Y'all doing good?
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine.
Yeah, man, thank you.
In Nashville as well, so I believe you may be able to identify with some of the substance that we're speaking of tonight. But thank you for joining us, sir. We appreciate you as always. So let me get right into it.
Thank you.
And I'm going to open up the phone lines for you to pose any questions to our subject for conversation tonight, our case study. and just hit him hard. He ain't scared. You ain't scared, is you, Pastor?
No, I think I've braced myself for it, man. I think it's a great reminder. It's a great reminder.
All right.
Man.
All right. Yeah. Great. So let me just give a little backdrop. I came to Nashville as a student, can you believe it, 31 years ago. And having grown up in a very similar environment that was tough, challenging, and it was a blessing for me not to become a statistic in the project of Chicago, that either going to jail or being killed in the streets. But this was a saving grace. And my heart was fixed on being able to share that opportunity to be saved from that destruction. And so there was a housing project just up the road from Fisk University, and John Henry Hale Housing Project. And I wanted to go up there and try to help young folk there learn how to read and write and do arithmetic. You understand what I'm saying? And so as I went up there, there was this place, this barbershop on the corner, and there was a group, a gang known as the Barbershop Boys. And the other thing I heard over and over and over again is about this folklore character in the hood called Fat Ricky. I said, And so, you know, that stayed with me. Well, through the process of time, about 4 years ago now, I was on the local radio, and they were talking about some of the things that we're talking about now in terms of challenges for African-American male youth. And here was this fella called in, and several people called in behind him saying, yeah, we know him. He was out there, and look at what he's doing now. He talked about a book he had. It was entitled Still High. I said, And when he said, yeah, they called me, I'm Reverend Ricky Waller, Minister Ricky Waller, I'm sorry, but they used to call me Fat Rick. I said, what? Hold up. I know that. That's a hero character in the hood. LaShawn, everybody on the block know about Fat Ricky. You understand what I'm saying? I said, wait a minute, hold on, man. I got to meet this cat. So he talks about it, and Lord called Fred for us to talk, and the rest is history. Here we are. Pastor Waller,
yeah.
How did you get the name Fat Ricky? Why Fat Ricky? You don't look fat to me now. I mean, why Fat Ricky?
Well, that's what a lot of people would say when they came out there looking for me when I was in the dope game. They would come looking for this guy that was supposed to be fat, but how – my name became Fat Ricketts when I was growing up, though. It had nothing to do with the drug game. It had to do with my being husky growing up with all the guys I grew up with. Most of them was older than I, but I was bigger than they were. And so that name just kind of stuck with me, and I accepted it. I embraced it because they constantly called me that name. And that's how I got that name.
I see. So you mean tell me you were a younger dude following older cats, but you were just big for your age. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I was big for my age, and I someone just sent me a picture of me when I was in high school. You know, I had mustache, and I had all the hair on my face. You know, and so it was amazing, man. That I came up pretty quick, and I fit in with the brothers, and I learned the language early. I guess things like that took place. So, you know, that's way it came about. You know, I was pretty much, I would say, in the fast lane early.
Didn't look
my age. I look older than I was.
I see. So it sounds like these guys were a deleterious influence on you, a very bad and negative influence. Because here you were looking to them as hero figures, as mentors, and they led you down a primrose path. Is that right? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm trying to get this thing straight now.
Well, actually, it was that way unintentionally. You know, it was just something that they were performing, and, you know, I took a liking to it. I mean, I was doing my own thing with a basketball in my hand as a young boy, you know, playing in the yard all by myself, but yet still I still was able to see what was before me, and the attraction that it gave me was much stronger than my basketball, even though I held on to my basketball through the duration time, you know, even when I was captured, I still had on too, but I didn't perform it. I didn't take it anywhere.
Ah.
So it was a So what they was doing was a little stronger than what, than the basketball within itself at that time.
I see. I want to ask you about that, but let me open up the phone lines to the rest of any questions or comments, 8112 or 0390 so far?
No, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay. What about you there, Brother Richardson?
Well, I'm going to tell you, if I think it's a blessing knowing that the brethren from Joe Johnson at that time, when I was a young cat out there on them streets in Joe Johnson, I looked up to cats like him, Jughead, Ricky Hockett, you know, just so many different big Tracy Lola, so many different players that were in the game, and to know that this young man has became that the Lord is using him as a tool to teach individuals right from wrong and putting God first. I'm just majorly overjoyed knowing that the Lord is using you, brother. So continue to do what you do regardless to what obstacles may be ahead of not only yourself, you, Doc, as well, myself and the young lady, but continue preach to, continue to reach people. I didn't know until now who you were. But once Doc continued to put your history out there, that name sounds very familiar. And I can say, if there's anybody on this line, that if you want to go deeper into your history faster, I'm gonna say one word: treacherous. Okay. I'm done.
My goodness.
Okay.
Man, right.
All right. Say what, Brother Richardson. We're going to dig a little deeper. We're going to dig a little deeper. Outcast, welcome to
the conversation. Yeah, I thank you, brother.
Pardon me?
Welcome to the conversation. We appreciate you joining us tonight. All right.
Thank you.
Now, so I told Pastor Waller that he's going to have to go and back into this dark room with me. I am someone that looks up to you, Pastor, this character, this image of Fat Ricky. I know you've reclaimed another name today, okay? But you know, and I know, and I think the other callers know, that there are a lot of young brothers who are trying to find an identity to hook up with. And this folklorish character has so much pizzazz and so much reputation and so much seemingly power that comes with it that you kind of get caught up in the game. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is even in 2018. Now, we're talking about 40-some years ago. Is that right, Pastor Waller?
Yes, over 40-some years ago, yes.
Over
40 correct.
Years ago. And here we are in 2018, and there's still this strong impulse. All right, I'm in the dark room. Bam, the door done closed now. It's just you and me, Pastor Waller. Just you and me, okay? And these other callers are witnessing now. You're going to have to save me. Now, you know what I got in there with me, right? I got my heat.
Yeah.
I can't go nowhere without my heat, right? It's just like the police wear a uniform. I got me a uniform, too. All right? So don't make me mad, okay, or I might have to use my heat on you. His first question. You're saying that there's something wrong with me, man, and they got you and me in this room now. You don't know what I can do to you, do you? My question to you is, at what point do you think I went out of control? I went wrong. Answer that for me.
I mean, that's a time when you recognize when you went wrong. I mean, that's pretty deep because it's – You can't be going wrong when it's in your mind that this is just a way of life. This is what you are about. You know, this is who I am. I mean, if you sum it up like that, it's going to be hard to think that you're wrong, you know, about what you think is right. You know, and I know we're dealing with the the scripture today and looking back on being without it, you know, it said, what a man's thinking in his heart, so is he. So if I think I am, I'm all of that, if I think I am a gangster or treacherous, as the brother said earlier, you know, I mean, I bar none. So if I have that mentality, I'm already running and ducking and dodging and hiding from the law. So it's a style, you know, from the robbers, you know, to the killers. You know, you're affiliated with the whole concept of street life. So it's just, you know, some reasoning can take place, you know, if you want to look at it that way. But that don't mean that it's going to occur. I mean, because the person that has a weapon seems to have the advantage most of the time in their head of, about being, you know, with a weapon like that. You just don't think that you can be anything other than tough, you see. It brings harm into the person's thought. You're not just having it for protection, which some people may have it just for protection, but when you have what they would call the upper hand, so it's pretty tough call there. You know, I just would do all I can do as I've done in the past. You know, I've dealt with people like that before I came into the ministry. I had to deal with them back even when I was doing what I was doing. And how I dealt with that, sometimes I didn't have a gun. I make them think I had one.
In other words,
in other words, you're not alone. You know, I was just playing the game. See, I wasn't really who I was back then. You understand what I'm saying?
Ah,
it just seemed like I was that person. I wasn't really the kingpin. You understand what I'm saying?
Let me stop
so
you
I
right
never
there.
Did.
Pastor, I don't want to be rude. Let me stop you right. You're saying something key, because this is where I believe a lot of young brothers are in the dark room. They got this facade on out of their own fear of inadequacy. So I got to make you think I'm bigger and better than what I really am in my heart. Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, yeah, the game just fell in my hand, so I had to play the role after I had learned street life a little taste as I thought. I really was ignorant and unlearned to the game, but however, I had to step up into it to find out what the role was. You know, and how to carry out the roles of the game. So it's almost like pretending to be something that you're not, but you're deceiving your own self. But when you're in it so deep, so early, so quick and so fast, and it's like it's taking something that's so precious as I had in my hand, which was a basketball. And the next thing I know, I'm controlling my whole community, man. And so I never boasted about it. I came from a family, you know, that was very humble. You know, cared for me. I took care of my whole community, you know, when I was called upon. I mean, people, when they was in despair, I mean, I was there for them. So I never was
so like
egotistical
Robin Hood.
About it. Huh?
You were like Robin Hood,
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it was laid out. And, you know, so that could fit in.
I'm missing something. Where was your father, man? Ideally,
father
makes sure you don't have to worry about all this. He got your back. He raised you. Protect. Where was dad? If it's all right now, explain that missing piece to me.
Yeah, that's fine. I wrote in my book, my father and I was really all right. And, you know, when I wrote that book, I think it was in Steer High. I don't think it was in this upcoming one. But, yeah, I talked about it. I went to elementary school one day, and he had came by and dropped off some money for me to give it to my mother. And it was about $63, I think. It was a child support, I guess. I guess that must have been what it was. And I went to school with that money. I didn't give it immediately to her. So what I'm saying, we was really all right like that, my father and I. But he knew nothing about how I shot a basketball. He didn't know how good I was with the basketball. Even when somebody told him that it was, I think it kind of made me feel pretty bad one time. A guy was explaining to my father one day. He was running the store. And one of the guys I went to school with was telling my father about how I played basketball. I remember my father saying, you know, oh, he can't do that. He can't do what you're saying he can do. And things like that. You know, in other words, the guy was trying to tell my dad that I was just like super bad. But my dad had never seen me shoot a ball or anything. And I don't think he said it to belittle me or anything. He was just in disbelief himself. And so, you know, we was all right, but he wasn't with me, man. We weren't. My mother and my father were separated, were divorced, I would say. And so, you know, he loved me from a distance, and likewise.
I said,
we had a nice relationship, but we didn't hang out. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to bring callers in. 8112, you see and you work with a lot of, you engage a lot of young guys that we've been talking about. Can you see any similarities to this case study that we're talking about and some of the young people that you try to give guidance to?
Yes, sir, a lot.
Okay.
A whole lot. And it saddens my heart because it even falls in your own family. Maybe not directly, but indirectly. And mm-hmm. and you ask yourself, what is there that I can say? What is there that I can do? Because a lot of young people, I figure these days, think they got their mind made up. But God is still in charge, and I think he's showing people that today.
Yeah.
He's still in charge. Even if they don't know him, something may occur within their lives that say, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't do this by myself.
Right.
As Pastor Wallace was saying, he had to put this facade on where in his heart he had not built that image up. Other ones had built that image of him up, and he had to go along with the game. Because without him going along with the game, he could have been hurt seriously or killed.
True.
So many people, as y'all call it, in that trap. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Pastor Waller, Sarah Sanders. Sarah Sanders says hello to you, and she's listening to you tonight.
All right. Bless God. How you doing there, Ms. Kennedy? Yeah, praise God. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Thank you for that, 8112. Yeah, Brother Richardson, any questions or comments before we move further?
Well, I'm gonna say this. You know, as Pastor, you know, began to, you know, as you given him questions as far as the dark room, and it was something that really that he said answer wise in that because it took him several minutes to answer that, and one of the things that stuck out like a sore thumb. It was two things. It was one thing that he said, but it was, I always feel like when someone says something, when they answer something, it's always a pros and cons to it.
I see.
You understand what I'm saying? And the one, the piece I really want to dissect is that part, and it goes right back to, you know, to his history and our community, He simply said, when the young man was telling his father, hey, your son, he plays the heck up at that ball. Well, that boy, he don't know how to play that ball.
Wow.
And you know, when Pastor said, well, you know, I don't think he was trying to belittle me. True, but that is one of our biggest problems. Just because I don't see my nephew, my niece, a sister, a brother, because I don't see it, that doesn't mean that they don't have talent. This the one of the biggest things that we have been taught is that hey, we don't have a talent when we're born.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lie. Mm-hmm. We all have a talent, but we don't learn that until we get older. You understand what I'm saying?
It's
a blessing. It's a blessing that, yes, that he could play that ball. His father didn't know. Now he plays a different kind of ball.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And with that, this is the beautiful thing about the ball that the pastor's playing now that I love.
Okay.
He's able to pass that ball and show the next player, hey, you can play too. Once you learn how to play just like I did in the game, hey, pass that thing. Don't keep it, because if you keep the ball, you know, then you're going to be considered selfish. But that's that part that really I really want to be able to say, well, hey, you know, I really wanted to dissect that part because when he answered that, I was like, oh, you know. So yeah, that's my comment so far. Yeah,
I appreciate that. This is an academic discussion we're having tonight, and the whole point of this is I want us to walk away from this study, this case study, with a real understanding of the mindset, because what I'm saying to you is, even though this transpired 40-some years ago, brothers and sisters, there are too many of our babies facing the same fear and apprehension about life in 2018. And if you really want to understand where they are, that's what I was saying some time ago. We were talking in a previous show. There's nothing new about what these little guys are going through.
Mm-hmm.
Outkast will tell you as well. He's had his own experiences. It's nothing new about it. The only thing is they don't know that this same stuff, these same challenges, were there 40, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we just haven't resolved it in our community. That's the opportunity we have in 2018 to break this cycle so nobody else has to go through it again. That's the nature of our dialogue and our discussion tonight. I mentioned his name. Question, comments so far, Outkast? Or you good?
No, I'm good. No.
Okay, all right. Let me pose the next question. Chandy, I hope you got the number to call here. It's 657-383-0944. Feel free to give us a call any time in our conversation here. I'm back in the dark room now, Pastor Waller. I like the way Brother Richardson framed that. See, because
man, he laid it down.
He did. I'm a firm believer that a missing piece is fatherlessness. That's a missing piece to the puzzle. And if we can overcome that, now I know the problem is, and I'm not going to stay on this too long, that the bad relationship with mama often negatively affects the child. But what was pointed out in that conversation is that this is the man that helped bring you in the world who had no idea of what your own talent was, your own gift, your contribution to humanity. And that is the person that's supposed to affirm that for you. Are y'all with me? That's who you're supposed to be able to look to affirm your gift. But yet we couldn't have it. It looks like Candy has joined us here, and 3072 has joined us online here. Welcome, ladies, to the conversation. Is that Candy? Is that you, Candy?
Yes, it is. How you doing?
Oh, all right. Hey, Just stay right there for me. 3072, how you doing, darling?
Hey, how are you doing? How's everybody?
All right. Just hold on right
there.
All right.
How are you? How are you?
Good. We're talking from the topic, how to turn the bad into good. And our case study is Fat Ricky, a.k.a. Pastor Ricky Waller, the pastor of New Way Outreach Ministry in Nashville, Tennessee, and the author of the book Still High. Let me stop for a second and say, go to www.dfcinstitute.com, and you can go to our back page and look on there, and you'll find that book. When you make a contribution, you help him to keep doing what he's doing. I can hear somebody's conversation in the background. You help him keep doing what he's doing, and it also helps BFC continue this dialogue. All right. Now, Pastor Wallace, you still there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here.
I'm in the room, and this is a good segue into this next question. Your dad didn't recognize your natural talent and gift, okay? That was bad enough. But it sounds like you forsook that gift yourself. How does a young man forsake their natural gift and talent that come from God himself? Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old.
Yeah, well, I'd like to first thank the brother for sharing it so well, you know, about, you know, my father, because he hit it right there. It would have been wonderful to have him to have said, well, I'd like to see him shoot a ball one day or something like that. But that never took place. And, of course, I felt tough real tough about it just when he was speaking about that. You know, it's still kind of heavy on me.
Sure.
But again, I know that we was really tight and all right, so I didn't charge it to his heart. You understand what I'm saying? But what you was talking about now and how to tap into what it is that's beneficial to how to accept it is what I had to deal with it. So when I was able to realize that the game fell in my hand and forsaken talent, you know, it's something that I did with. I never seen myself go down the court and throw a ball to somebody. I used to just do it. And so I never had a chance to see how the ball was released from, you know, how far I shot it or, you know, all those moves I used to make on the court. I never seen none of that. So, you know, I used to hear people talk about it. You know, it was just a thing. So I done it naturally. So it wasn't anything other than, you know, hey, if my friends are not going to the pros, I'm not going either. I had a mentality like that. That's the way I was that person who that's why when I was in the game, I made sure all my friends was able to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And so in my corrupting my community, it was a part of love. It wasn't a part of intentionally doing harm to my community. However, that didn't take away from me doing it. But that's the way I really was able to forsake my talent. I'm going to say this and turn it back over to you. There was a guy one time that said he heard about Fat Rick, and he said if he wasn't if his friends wasn't going to the pros, then he wasn't going either. And he hit it right because that's the love that I had for my friends, you know, because I felt like they played just as good as I did. That's just the way it was. In spite of whether they did or not, I just was a team player. And the brother said earlier about me passing the ball to somebody. Yeah, I'm that guy. We'll pass the ball to you because I know how to pass it to you without looking at you. I can pass it, you know, so many moves without even looking, but it's gonna come right to you though.
Wait, what?
It's gonna hit you in stride though. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's the
okay.
thing about the love that I had for my community. I passed the game down to them, and as well today is what I passed down is the righteousness of God in which He has ordered me to do. So He hit it so hard, man. He hit it so right on target because I am a team player, not selfish at all. Never have been. You know, so it's one of those things. I could have shot the layup, but I would pass it to somebody that wasn't on the scoreboard just to try to get him on. And that's the way I was, man. And still remain today is like that.
So
I messed up my talent.
So let me say this, and I'm going to bring 3072 in and 2794. I think that's candy. You know, I was in Chicago not too long ago, and I was having a conversation with a doctor. He was talking about how Bill Gates is a wonderful example of success and young people should aspire to be like him. And I said to him, I said, look, Bill Gates was no better than the average cat, Pastor Waller, coming up in West Nashville like you. Well, I said Chicago, Cabrini Green, but it's the same thing right here in Nashville. In your experience, what you missed, is the resource and opportunity to put you where you need to be to show the world your best gifts and talents. So we're talking about turning the bad into good. We may have said that was terrible, that was bad. All that you did was bad. But guess what? Uh-huh. Now you have an opportunity to flip that thing and make some good out of it. What about that 3072? And then you weigh in, Candy.
Totally. I agree. He brought out a really good point that we do every day and we don't realize it, whether it be for our children, our spouse, a friend, a cousin. We pass the ball all the time, and we try to stay on a level with the people who we think are, you know, really in with us and they're in our corner. And that's not godly, though, and I think it goes back to, again, teaching a child early on and even now as an adult, discovering who you are, being true to yourself first. If you can do that, like you said, who knows, the next Bill Gates may come about or the next some, you know what I'm saying? So if you focus on what you need to do first, and don't give away what you need to do trying to pull somebody else. They got to help pull themselves. But you need to get there first. You need to get there first.
Right. Okay. Let me hear from Candy. Just like Candy. How you doing, Candy?
I'm sitting up here taking it all in because, you know, our young people, and I thank God for any man that gives to our kids and that's trying to bring our kids up or whatever part you can play in our young kids, especially our young males. And, you know, I have four grandsons and I have nephews. And like I said, I come from a family of 12. And, you know, these kids, they ain't even attacking our little young kids.
Yes,
that's
they
how
are.
A bad the situation is now. Because I can remember when I was a little girl, you even had to have permission to go to the refrigerator, to go in the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that time I was raised up, you had to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Today, our young kids are not even trying to comprehend or taking directions or listening or I don't care where they come from. It is so devastating to see a young child not respecting their elders. And it comes all far because a man. But my grandmama, you better not say yeah. You better not say yeah. You better say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir.
Right.
Look, but the thing of it is, I am so grateful that God blessed me with Pastor Ricky. When I moved here to Nashville, he helped me out so much with my daily walk with God. You know,
okay.
Because the enemy is always out trying to trick us and get into our heads and our minds. And I struggle with a lot of issues, but I'm so grateful that I have, you know, I didn't have a father neither in my life, but I had a grandfather. But, you know, since I've been down here in Nashville, even though I'm 59 years old, I feel Pastor Ricky helped me out a lot in the ministry, in God's word. So, you know.
Okay.
We never stop learning, though. That's the thing. We never stop learning.
That's true. Let me reiterate to those, in case you're just joining us here on Facebook or on the podcast platform, this is Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic tonight, how to turn the bad into good. The case study of Pat Ricky, a.k.a. Pastor Ricky Wallace. Yes. Someone was trying to say something?
This Candy, when you said how to turn the bad into good, I thought you was talking about being without a father. But the only way I was able to turn my bad into good was through Christ. I used to be on drugs and stuff like that. I went to NAAA. I went to all them programs. But when I met Jesus for myself, I've been knowing him for a long time, but I didn't have a relationship with him. That was the only way that the bad that I was doing was able to be taken away. I was healed and delivered through the word of God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, actually, Candy, we are really talking about we're really specifically looking at young men, and we're looking at the experience that our subject, our case study tonight, which is Pastor Waller, how we can take his experience and use it as a teaching tool in 2018 and beyond. But I appreciate your reformation. But that's really what we're talking about when we talk about turning the bad into good. Now, he made a lot of money. In his book, he has a picture in there where he's on the floor, and it looked like he got wads and wads of money sprung all against the floor. On the floor, he got this wide brim. You know how they wore them wide brims and them bell bottoms in the 70s, you know. And then like he was a pimple hustler or something. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know what it was, Pastor, but I'm just saying. And he's counting his money. Some would say that's the life. Pastor Waller, that brings me back in this dark room now. We're back in this dark room. And I want you to know that I'm this little shouty, and you're trying to take some from me. Explain to me, why shouldn't I give in to the lure of the block and that feeling like I got it all? I'm living the American dream. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, that's where the trick is. That's where the setup is, and that's where the trap is. And when you combine all those tools together, it captures your mind, and so you have to think that way. And so to come in there just to say stop would be a disrespect.
Yeah.
You know, would be a disrespect to the game. And that's what, you know, God taught me. God taught me. He said, Ricky, the same way I taught you, he said, that's how you teach others. So first I had to be patient. I had to be patient and understanding of how hard it is to break a bad habit. And trouble is easy to get into, but hard to come up out of. So you have to be an example of, say, I understand. And if I can say I understand, because, yes, I had the $100 bills, spread it out and things like that. And I didn't even take the picture because I wanted to. It was somebody said, man, let me take a picture of you. And that's how that picture took place. It wasn't because I said, hey, man, look at all this money I got, because I had the money for a little while. I mean, I had been cutting it like that. So I wasn't thinking about taking no picture with it. I was one of the ones that was trying to play the game and didn't even know the rules of the game. You understand? I didn't know that the people was going to know what I ate for breakfast and where I went at in certain places. And I done all I could to do the Dodge game, you know. But it didn't work, man. It's just that it was like that. So in that dark room, if a person is there and he's loaded with the money, man, you know, the best thing to do for me, from my experience, you know, because it wasn't easy for me to turn away. You know, the Bible says, what is for a man to gain the whole world but to lose his soul? You know, and what would he give in exchange? And so what I had to do, I had to make an exchange, and it was not easy to make the exchange. But once God broke me off a little something about how to get off of drugs, then the compassion came upon me about others who were still on it and people who were still in the game, you know. And so, you know, it had to do with that.
Hold your thought. You're saying something that's key.
Okay.
I think Brother Richardson might agree with me. Now, so where perhaps well-meaning people go wrong when they say these young people, and I think I've heard 8112 say this too, these young people, they know better, and they need to just get and start doing right. So what I'm hearing you say tonight is there is a trap, and there's a lure in the trap, and if your mind is weak and it's not right, you don't see anything wrong with where you are. Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, if you got some cheese and a rat is, you know, is out there around somewhere, you put the cheese out there, man, the rat going to try to get it. He don't care about who you are or anything like that. He's thinking about the cheese. You know, if a person is trying to trap a person or trap the community to do something to, you know, what I would call entrapment, you know, that's happening, man. If we don't know how to escape, and what we need to know is how can we escape. So today, that's what I teach.
Okay.
I teach people how to escape the snare, the trap of the devil, which I have been taking captive myself to do his will. So just because I have this kind of information and I don't share it with people, as my brother was talking about earlier, it would be a disrespect to the people who are out there caught up, man. These people are hurting. You know, there's more people out there that's going to walk away from the game soon if they get the right information. And so let me share this with you according to the scripture, Pastor, if you don't mind, because you know how I am about that. It's almost like, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. In other words, what I'm bringing to the table today, I'm not even charging for it.
Okay.
The stuff that I used to bring harm, you know what I mean, that's got these brothers off into that dark room, I charge people for that, man. You know, I serve poison, but I charge money for it. But the gospel, I'm giving it away free. Free of charge. It's because God gave it to me. See, God gave it to me. So what I'm saying is that what would be wrong with a person supporting someone that is giving the gospel away because it works? It's not like I'm wondering if it'll work. I have experience. I had a taste of it. You know, and the scripture said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. In other words, turning something bad into good. Oh, man, you have a taste of what's good in order for you to recognize what I'm having, what I'm working with is bad, so let me taste something good. And I had a chance to. So it brings forth a humble excitement, you know, for others, because also the word says something that's so profound when I heard about this. He said, exalt others more highly than yourself. So I got others on my mind. I don't even have me on my mind. So whatever they decide they want to do to me, they can do it to me as long as others get free. That's my walk.
Well,
I put it on the line.
If Pastor Waller let me hold about $500 to $1,000, that's all I need.
Well, I got you right there. I love that. I love that. And my response to you,
man.
Yeah, that all. Well, you asked me like, you know, I was broke. Yes, you asked me like,
no,
I was broke.
Man.
You know what I mean? Ask that a little bit. But I tell you like this. I say you asked the right one, it's just at the wrong time. You showed that the right one, just at the wrong time. But I'm working on some things. I'd rather be able to do this. Hey, look, it just have my number when you get off the phone and when you get off this message that we're dealing with. I get it to you real quick. You know, that would usually be my response, you know. My goodness, what an excitement.
Let me introduce Miss Hunter. She says, glory be to God. I hope that as we are progressing in this conversation, we can appreciate the fact that if all of us were to go right now to the spot where somebody just got arrested, somebody just got their home broken into by the police because of the drug bust, what is it that, Brother Richardson, we could take from this conversation? If we could tell the police, wait a minute, don't take them to jail, give them to us, what would we do with them 24 hours later, Brother Richard?
Well, it's it'll be hard to consume what I'm about to say, but when I say this, I just want everybody to have a open mind, because when it was said to me, when this conversation first opened up, I never understood what you and the pastor, when you said, Pastor, I'm still in this dark room. So that's where my mind is. We have to put these kids in a place.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. But the thing that you fail to understand, yeah, it's scary, but you have to think about and let those kids and teach those kids, if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be where you are right now. Up until this point, I am your angel. God has sent me to you. We have to confirm. We have to let our kids know. I didn't come into your life for a season. I'm in your life for a reason. So don't worry about it. You don't have this, that, those, and the others. If it's dark in here, God will provide the light, which is the Bible, and the other tools that we need to survive.
I see.
Okay? Now, trust in me the same way you trusted in that guy that was on the corner. You understand what I'm saying? That you looked up to. You understand what I'm saying? But it is so deep with this conversation. It's kind of hard, really, to find out where you want to start from. You understand what I'm saying? It's just like slavery. It's almost like slavery.
Wow.
If we could go back and get back on the ship, that's almost what we have to do with our kids, is revamp their minds. Okay?
Hold on, Brother Richard. You're going deep on me, man. Now, can I say this? I don't mean to cut you off. You are saying something that's
deep. You're good, dog.
You're saying that's something that's very important. And you're right. The fear that a lot of mamas have for their sons is that if you take them to that dark place, they won't make it out. But the truth is they're already in the dark and they're scared. Now, what we have to do is to use the dark as a therapeutic tool to get them to the light. Now, when I did a workshop, Brother Richard, I had some young guys. I asked them if I'd take their shoes off, Brother Richard. That was the first bar right there. What?
Okay.
Well, they did. And while they were working on another assignment that I gave them in a group, I tied everybody's shoestrings together. But Richard, are you walking
okay.
with me? And
yeah,
then I told them, hey, guys, we got to get out of here right now. We got 30 seconds to get out of here before this fire come get us. Everybody ran to their shoes, and what do you think happened, Brother Richard? That was chaos.
It was
utter chaos because everybody was snatching their shoes and their shoestrings are tied together. And you guess what we had to do, Brother Richard? We had to get everybody in the heat of the moment to stop and calm down. It was funny when we all got through, Brother Richard. But the truth of I had my shoes in there, too. I had my shoes in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is some people had holes in their socks. Some people didn't have no socks on at all. And some of those shoes were kind of musty. Huh?
Ooh.
But what we were able to say is, irregardless to how we brought our feet to the room, guess what? It's our experience. We calmed down, man. We took our time, and we untied the knot. And everybody was able to put their shoes back on. That's the dark place that you got to go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It hurts to know that you were wrong for a period of time and you were out of
uh-huh.
order.
It hurts
to have to accept that I got egg on my face. I think I'm looking good, but I got egg on my face.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts to know that I have an odor about me that is offensive. Huh? So you talking about me. You trying to make me look bad. But the truth is I got to go to that dark place before I get to the light. That's the issue right there. We talked about
that's what the
how to turn the bad into good. Go ahead, Pastor. Were you going to say something, Pastor Walker?
Yeah, I was in the dark, and this man came out of the church where the light is supposed to be, inside the church. And so he still came out on that street corner, which is dark, whether it was 12 noon, it was 12 midnight, whatever the time was, I was still in the dark. But he brought the light out there to the darkness.
Okay.
And what happened, he extended an invitation. In other words, he said something positive to someone that was walking in darkness, that was living a lifestyle of darkness, but yet still it was through this man in whom I started to trust. And I didn't know God in that manner, so I had to start somewhere, and that was an avenue for me to get to God, and it was through him. And that's what I like to say, God worked through people, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say he worked through people according to the scripture, because the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the bad part. He said, but yet I have become that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's where the exchange come in at, from the bad to the good. It's because he brings the light. And that pastor of that church brought the light to a person that was walking in darkness. And I always thank him. I forever thank him, man, for coming out like he did. And that's the reason why I do what I do, is because he came out to me, and now it's time for me to pass it down. I don't want to keep it to myself, because it's not fair to the people who are out there walking in darkness that no one is concerned. So I decided to be concerned about it and do all that I can do.
So you mean to tell me that even though LaShard is on the block with their guns and they dope, that we got to go there if that's where they are? Because they ain't coming to the church. Let's put all this week in.
Yeah,
is that right, Mama D? They ain't coming to the church, are they, Mama D?
Excuse me, sir?
Are they coming to the church? These little guys going to run to the church?
I don't know, but I do know this. Like I said earlier, God works in mysterious ways. When you leave that second, you might run to the church. It depends on what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you might go to the church, and you might beat the pastor there. Something could be going on, something horrible in your life, and if you know him a little bit, not a whole lot.
I see what you're saying.
Sister, I don't mean to disturb you.
This is Brother Rich coming out of Nashville.
Sir.
Now, everything you said was true up to one point.
Now,
you know, now when you, because it bothers me when people say this, that the Lord works in mysterious. It's one thing about God. Ain't nothing mysterious about him. You understand what
I'm
saying?
Well, you can say
now that's
what I feel, because he may not come when you want. He may not call just because you call him, but he always right on time. So when I say God works in mysterious ways, let me tell you this, my brother that I do not know.
Well,
he does what he does, because everything you think that it is ain't always what it appears to be. And he want to make sure you're full and wholeheartedly, because you're going to ask him for the things that you need, and you will meet it.
I guess the reason why I said that is as far as God doesn't work mysteriously, God does great work. He doesn't work mysteriously. He does great work. So that's all. I'm not trying to correct you, but I've heard a lot of people say that, and I guess it's something sometimes I don't understand when people say he works mysteriously. It's no mystery, nothing.
Okay.
That's just my That's just my opinion. That's
it. It's okay,
right,
darling. It's just like Lucifer was a beautiful angel cast out of heaven. And he works on a whole lot of people in different ways, make everything look glistening glorious.
One thing I do know about
my father and my grandfather is he may come to you through a dream. He may come to you with something that hurts you so bad. And that's what I mean when I say a mysterious way. You may be worried about some things in your life, and he's already working on it, and you don't have a clue that that's what he's doing. But you will have to ask him.
Hey, hold on one second. I don't mean to cut you off, but I don't want to get too far.
I was just trying to answer what he said to me.
All right, okay. I'm getting somebody feedback on their phone. Yeah. Is it 847?
But I don't want to get too far. I don't want to get
5497.
You bet. I'm getting somebody feedback.
All right. So let's see. If you could turn the noise down around you guys. All right. Now, I think we, it looks like we have a caller from 5497. I think that may have been where that background noise is coming from. You, maybe if you can move your phone away from your computer or turn down a little bit, we won't get that feedback. All right, let's see if we can get him back in here. All right, 5497, you there?
I have a caller from 5497. I think that may have been where that background noise is coming from. Maybe if you can move your phone
up. All right, okay. If you could make that adjustment for us, 5497, that's where we're getting that feedback from. Sometimes if your phone is too close to the computer, it'll give us that feedback. Great conversation, guys.
Can I chime in?
Give me one second, please. One second. If you're just tuning in, we're talking how to turn the bad into good, and we're using Pastor Ricky Waller, a.k.a. Fat Ricky, as a case study, his experiences. And he's written a book, and we're really placating off of that tonight. Okay, go ahead, 3072.
Yeah, I just wanted to back to, is it Don Rich?
Yes, how
you doing, sir? No, I was just agreeing with Diane. God has been working like, man, many mysterious mysteries throughout my lifetime, things that's been overwhelmingly shocking. Like, you don't understand it. You didn't plan it. It happened. Stuff that needed to happen. And you don't get it until it's happened and time passed, and then you can start to connect links to where he set it up like that. So I think that's a fair statement. I mean,
all right. Well, I can agree. We're not going to debate that tonight, though. Hold on one second. that's a whole nother conversation. If God works in mysterious ways and how he works, we know.
Okay,
his wonders have yet to be seen. Pastor Wallace told him, go taste to see how good he is. Okay, we're not going there tonight, all right?
Well, he asked me a question, sir. All right.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Hey, 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 we're doing good. We're doing good. We're doing good. We appreciate you all being with us where we are. We're on with Pastor Ricky Waller, who is our case study tonight. Pastor, let me see if I can get 847-5497 back in there without that noise. If some kind of way you could move away from your, take your phone away from the computer, that would be good. Let's see.
Okay.
Are you there, 5497? You there?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello, can you
How
hear
you
me?
How you doing?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you
I'm
now.
Doing all right.
Now we got you.
I'm doing
now
all right.
Go ahead. Go
okay,
ahead.
Well, you were talking about how to change the bad to good, right? And in the,
yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. In society.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Well, I think that it's two different ways you have to deal with it. You have to deal with
okay.
it spiritually, and you have to deal with it physically. As far
okay.
as spiritually, you know, you see little kids, and they bad. I mean, when they're younger, they bad, and somebody's saying, they're looking at that kid, you know what, that kid ain't going to be nothing. We're made in God's image. And before God
okay.
did anything that he did in those 6 days when he created everything on the earth, the first thing that he did was he spoke it into existence. And
all
if
right.
you're speaking and you're saying stuff and you're out of our mouth, we're made in God's image. We are his children. Jesus always said, whatever I do, you can do what I do or even more if you had faith. So when
okay.
you look at a child and you're speaking all this negative stuff, you're putting things on that child. You're putting things on them. And people fail to realize that's the spiritual part. The physical part is, you know what? Some people, they forget what they got in their closet. You know, they forget everything that they have done in their closet and they come out holier than thou. We need to stop and try to raise our kids and teach them, you know what? I have done this. I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though?
Mm-hmm.
This fast money and all this other stuff, if somebody can take that in 2 seconds and you either in jail or you're broke, that's an illusion. That's an illusion. You want to work, and say, for instance, you get stopped by the cops. You get stopped by the cops, you ain't got nothing to worry about because you know you worked hard for that money. You sold into that money. You know, we need to stop always pointing, and instead of just pointing fingers, oh, that child ain't going to be no good, or look at that person, or look at person, or I'm better than him, or my children better than him, and start working with that child. It's like we have in a house. You got some people that build a house real, real fast, and then the inspector comes, and he says, you know, this is wrong with the house, this is wrong with the house, this is wrong with the house. And then what a person has to do, if they have time and have a little money, they have to tear down everything and start from square one.
Wow.
That's what we need to do with our kids. Sometimes we need to break them down, but not in a way where we're going to chase them away from them, but encourage them and build them back up and then guide them. You know what? You're making this money, but when that police comes, you're going to be in jail or you ain't going to have nothing. And all those friends you got ain't going to be around, which we have to spiritually build them up and physically build them up to what they're supposed to be and speak nothing but positive, no matter how much they do wrong or how much they fall back. Because you know what? Every man and every woman fall back at least 1,000 times a day. God sit back and we say, oh, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. The next few minutes, we're doing something else wrong. And we need to act just the way God do. No matter how much wrong you do, you know what? I got love for you. You know what?
Right.
Come on, we're going to do this right. We're going to do this right. Don't worry about that. Push that to the side and keep moving forward. Instead of judging, we're doing exactly what the system does. A child make mistakes, and you know what? We always carry that up on them. That child did that. That child did that. That child did that. You know what I'm saying? How you gonna talk about the courts and all this other stuff when you're doing the young folks like that yourself? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I take your point. All right. She gave you 10 points for that. I think you laid some very helpful information on the floor here. Let me. Did you say 10 stars?
Mm-hmm. 10 stars.
Okay. You got 10 stars for that, brother, okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, well, so now if we, let's bring all of this together. You make a great point. Pastor Waller had a very infamous reputation around town. And I don't know if you caught the monologue of 5497, but we read an article, a recent article that came out about him. And I know I've been knowing of him. I know of this reputation for 31 years, okay? And we read a recent article about how there was a major transformation. Now, your point is so beautiful because the truth of the matter is, I was saying before that what these young guys are going through in their struggle and their quest to find themselves and to be important, make a contribution, or as Dr. King would say, have the exhibit the drum major instinct to be a leader. There's nothing new about it.
Nope.
We've all been there. And a lot of mothers, I'm going to talk to the ladies now for a second. A lot of mothers are concerned. I want to say, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, 3072 and 8112, but a lot of the mothers' greatest concern is for their son not to fail and to be broken. Is that, am I right about that,
right,
ladies?
Yes, man.
But the only way you the only way a man could learn to be a man, failure if a person gets what they want all the time, they didn't learn nothing.
Right.
They didn't learn anything.
Well,
but you
brother,
have to fail
you know
sometimes.
What? You
have to.
You know what the scripture tells us? It tells us that after the fall of man, we have to crawl before we walk. We have to humble ourselves.
That's the punishment against man.
Well,
that's the punishment.
That's right.
Everything
that's
you
right.
got to work hard for.
And that your statement in itself is like the statements that you guys are making is profound and very powerful. What if dads across America was explaining that concept to their sons?
What
if they let them know that, son, guess what? In life, your your biggest success is going to be to fail. When you get up, I mean, that's profound.
That's foul.
That was good. That was good.
That is foul.
You know what? Somebody told me a man is not measured how many times that he fall. A man is measured by how many times he get up. That's what makes a man a man. And like the thing about it is, we're babying our young kids today to the point where we want to do everything for them. And you know what? When they get out there, and God forbid, you're not going to be out there. Your time is clicking. Your time, you're getting closer and closer to the maker. You're not going to always be there for them. So you have to prepare them to not survive, to survive without you, to stand up on their own.
True.
You know, I thank God my mom taught me how to cook. My mom taught me how to work. And she knew
I
had a problem
you,
being late. She said, you know what, Sean, this is what you do. From now on, set your clock 15 minutes, your car clock, your alarm clock 15 minutes early, and you'll never be late. And you know what? I still do that, and I'm never late. We have to prepare. We have to prepare our children wherever they're weak at. You know, and a parent knows where their child is weak at. They know them better than anybody else. You know, they're strict and they're weak. Strengthen them. Prepare them.
Okay. I don't mean
it's
to cut
like
you off,
building
brother,
muscles.
Brother, I appreciate you. I don't mean to cut you off. We got about 10 minutes here. I wanted to give
I'm sorry. I get like that when I start talking.
Sorry. Hey, man. Brother. You in the house, baby. You in the house, man. I appreciate you. You're right on point. I wanted to give Brother Richardson a chance. Then we want to go back to Pastor Waller, and we'll start wrapping up the show. Because, man, time has just gotten away from a great conversation. Go ahead, Brother Richardson. I'm sorry.
All right. I first want to say, I want to just apologize. I don't want to offend anyone things.
No.
I just look at things from a different perspective. That's one. for two.
Yeah. Okay.
Even me growing up, hearing about you, Pastor, Fat Ricky, I'm 45. and I'm not finna throw no ages out there as far as how old you may be, but to let you know that, I've toted guns, I've did some robbing, et cetera.
Okay.
And just basically let me, getting into it, that dark room. This whole conversation takes me right back to that dark room. And the reason why the dark room, when I heard you, Doc, talk about and even using the pastor for this forum, I think the biggest thing, a lot of us don't want our kids. I just heard the young man that just clicked in. We don't want our kids to go through the same thing we went through.
Right.
All that's fine and dandy, but here's the thing that we fail to understand, all right? In order for our kids now to understand what's really going on, we need to quit putting sugar in our words when we talk to our kids. Okay?
I agree.
You know why I say that? Now, wait a minute now. Okay. Wait a minute. Don't start that because you really have to consume this when I say this. One of the biggest diseases in the urban black communities is what? Diabetes.
Mm.
Quit. That's my sweet boy. Look, the boy ain't sweet for one. Quit it. Tell them how T-I-T is. Quit trying to sugarcoat and tell our kids this, that, those, and the other. The fourth and final thing, self-education is very important for our children. It's nothing wrong with nothing. It's nothing wrong with nothing with learning about how Christopher Columbus and, how the Indians and all of this, all at the same time. We need to learn about our culture growing up.
Amen.
All right? So there's nothing wrong with getting an education and all of that. But I'm done for now, gentlemen.
You just hit me in the mouth, Bro Richard. I appreciate that, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Bring a little closure, if you will, to your life works and still high. In about a couple of minutes, explain to me like I'm 3 years old. You think if we round up 100 cats right now and we took them in a dark room, we can use still high to bring light to their life?
Yeah, I would say bring them to me, right quick. I mean, that's the reason why, I'm doing what I'm doing out here. And of course, how I've been out on the ground. And, the first half of my life was a dog lifestyle. So, whom better to take it to than somebody that is walking in the light now? And so for 26 years of my life, being free from the drug that controlled my life, I mean, what more does it take other than the willingness to do all that one can do? The scripture says, according to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So in other words, there's a lot of people walking in darkness, and I'm just willing to bring forth the light to shut the darkness down. You see, and if a person is not willing to bring them toward me, it's not my fault, especially if I have the willingness. And if you know somebody that's in darkness, like the amount of people that you just said, why don't they just bring it to somebody who don't mind sharing with them? And it is of no cost, no charge. could you imagine? Reaching out like that, brother. So that's what I do, man. I do what I do, and I'm just grateful for you. You asking me to share on it. It's not something that I glorify by me being in the darkness once upon a time, but I'm so thankful that I can say that I appreciate God bringing forth the light and bringing me out of what I was in, man. And it's worth telling others. That's what it's all about. It's worth telling others, man. Not enough time to tell it all, but a little go a long way. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Let me say this before we go any further. I am going to have to be on the campaign trail on next Tuesday and possibly Thursday, but I know Tuesday. So Pastor Wallace is going to be sitting in for us, and he's going to be carrying the show for us. So we appreciate him, as always, bringing us, you know, just keeping it alive, and we appreciate that. We got about 4 minutes. Let me give everybody a final thought here, maybe 30 seconds, and then we'll prepare to wrap up the show tonight. But before I do that, www.bfcinstitute.com. That's where you can go right now, and make your contribution. Make a $20, $25, $50 contribution, and we will make sure that when you do so, we'll get you a copy of this book, Still High, by Pastor Ricky Wallace. And when you do that, we'll allow him to keep on bringing life, and BFC will be able to keep this conversation live. Right there, www.bfcinstitute.com. You can go right there and click the icon to make a contribution. It's tax-deductible, and it's a safe PayPal account. All right. Let me go to 8112. Final thought, 8112, right quickly.
I respect everything and take it in consideration, everything it was has said. I have not a big comment outside of that. Keep trying and keep succeeding at what you guys are doing. I think you're going to go large.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. All right. All right. 3072, final thought?
Yeah. Yeah. Happy birthday, 8112.
What?
All right.
What? And
Angie's
so,
birthday. Your niece's birthday. I mean, Angela's birthday.
Okay. Angela's okay.
Birthday.
So, listen, so Pastor Waller don't have to go near the money that he buried, but just tell me where you put it, and I'll clean it up. I'll take care of it. You ain't got to go near it. Just tell me where. But, no, good show, great show. I agree with everybody.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Appreciate you joining us tonight. 1098, you've been quiet, man. Give us a final thought before we go home, here, man. Right quickly.
No comment. No comment.
All right. Hey, appreciate you always, brother. We appreciate you. Your presence is well recognized. All right.
Thank you.
Let's see. 0390, right quickly. Give me about 30 seconds.
All right. Two things. First thing, I always say, I love everyone. There's nothing you can do about it. And I'm not taking it back. And the second thing, we have to be able to agree to disagree. That's all I got.
Sure. Bless you, man. We appreciate your contribution to the conversation. I hope somebody will learn
something
from it before it's all over with. All right, sir. Thank you so much. Pastor Waller, final thought here, man, and then we're going to get out of here. Until next
all
Tuesday.
All right, man. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody that had a chance to talk and all the uplifting things that were said. And for those that just had a chance to listen, I appreciate that just as well. 3072, let me share something with you. A partner of mine from Vegas sent me a T-shirt, and it had old money on it. That's what it had on it, old money. Glory to God. You just remind me of that. So all I have is the thought of it. I don't have any of it put away. I just have the thought of it. And I said, when he sent me that shirt, I said, man, you're going to get me in trouble wearing that shirt talking about old money. But anyway, yeah. But anyway, the Word of God says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Glory to God. So turn in that old for the new. It comes from above. And I just trust that everybody that had a chance to assemble together tonight will keep an open mind and know that it's all right to support someone that was walking in the darkness and just got free and brought into the light.
Amen.
So just be encouraged, no matter what's going
on. All right.
Glory to God.
Y'all look forward to see Pastor Ricky Waller Tuesday night at 7 o'clock p.m. for another episode of Talk Straight.